Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Kathopanishads, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Navirato duscharitat na shanto na samahitah na shantamanaso vapi prajnane nainam apnuyat. This self cannot be acquired by one who has not turned away from evil conduct, nor by one who is restless, nor by one who has no control over the mind and senses, and whose mind is lacking peace. Even though endowed with a powerful intellect, he cannot realize the self. Certain qualifications must be understood. If you are not sustained by dharma, righteous conduct, ethical value of life, then your life will not lead you to the goal. All your accomplishments must have a basis, dharma. As I have pointed out before, there are four purusharthas: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Dharma is the ethical value of life, which begins with, may I be good and do good. Be good, do good is the mantra for this first foundation of your life's movement. Having that foundation or keeping that in view, work for your material goal, material value called artha. That artha, no matter, that will not limit you, because with dharma as the basis, all the artha, the material attainments, you are going to utilize them in a profound way. Third point is called kama, vital value of life. Life that brings about social relationships, the joys of family and so forth. That becomes much more fulfilling in your family, with society. Your life has much more to give if you have that previous dharma, artha, in that sequence. And ultimately, if you are leading your life with dharma, artha, and kama, moksha, liberation, becomes your goal. Liberation, call it kingdom of heaven, call it salvation, call it nirvana. But the definition of liberation is moksha. Moksha means being free of the cycle of birth and death, and becoming one with Brahman, the Absolute. So therefore, he who has not turned away from evil conduct, in a broad way, try to develop profound interest in enriching yourself in a spiritual way, line up with your mind negative qualities, positive qualities. How to eradicate vices, how to cultivate virtues. And that should become an engrossing task without developing too much anxiety or stress about, as I have explained that. For example, you want to find yourself easily agitated, becoming angry, and then you think of it, what's the opposite of that? The opposite of that is to be a loving person, forgiving person, to be patient. Adopt the mantra of 3S. Suppress, as anger surges in your mind. I'm giving just for a sample, just one example. Substitute. Don't invest all your energy over anger. When did I develop it? How much damage it has done to me, etc., etc. Don't work on that. But simply an affirmation, I am a ray of God. God has created me. I must grow in the image of God. And therefore, deep down I am divine love incarnate. As you go on substituting and holding on that affirmation, your anger gets sublimated. Because anger is a short-circuited energy. There are lots of short circuits in a human personality. Therefore, lots of troubles come. And news go on breaking on the TV every moment. But when you correct a short circuit, it simply becomes normal. Anger is corrected, and you become a very peaceful, joyous person. Pride is corrected, you become a person with humility. Greed is corrected, and you become a generous person. And so forth. Living your life with that type of involvement, of developing divine qualities, eradicating the negative. That's your real prosperity. Yasya brahma cha kshatram chome bhavata odanah mrityu yasyopasechanam ka ittha veda yatrasaha. Who knows the self as it is? The Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are its food. And death is, as it were, its condiment, the goal. Who knows the self? Who am I? The I am in you is not real. That's not you. Body, you are not the body. Body is your instrument. The senses, you are not the senses. You are not the mind, not the intellect, not the ego. The real I am in you is I am that am I. Soham Asmi of Sanskrit. I am that of the Bible. The real I am. That's the reality of every individual. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And that's I am. If you are not aware of who am I, if you have not attained that, then you are living in a world, the world that is being eaten up, devoured. The same God who is the source of all joy and end of all pain and sorrow, that very God not realized appears in the form of the entire world process. And what type of the world it is? Everything in this world, the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are its food. That relates to the idea of division in classes all over the world. People have some type of class concept. Some people are classified as great people. In India it is a Brahmanas. Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, and everywhere in the world some type of division is there. But no matter to whatever type of class you may belong, there is someone who is going to eat you up. Who doesn't care for class distinctions. And death is its condiment. Even the very principle of death that no one can avoid on this earth. In Brahman, the absolute God, that death is just a delightful thing to chew it up. It gives you a sensitive view of the world process. All humanity, all creatures live in a world that's transient. There is a village proverb. Kuch soup mein hai, kuch adhan mein. You are cooking rice or any other grain, and a farmer who is cooking is using a winnowing fan, keeping the grains, and he's doing like that to prepare. When the grains are being kicked up like that, they feel, oh, what a wonderful world it is. But they are dumped into that water, boiling water.
And those grapes, they go up and down with tremendous misery.
That's the predicament of bhoga and aishwarya, enjoyments, attaining glorious status in this world. And all is being eaten up by, as if by God. The simple message behind it, that all attainments in the world are non-eternal, anityam asukham lokam, transient. Therefore, real happiness cannot be acquired by any attainment. However, when you enter deep within yourself, practice integral yoga, and allow your heart to become the shrine of God, you become attuned to God within yourself. How much you can be completely one with God, because God is the reality. Think of every individual soul is like a reflected sun in a jar of water, and the sun is reflecting. The reflected sun has the potentiality of being one with the sun. As water begins to clear up, the reflected sun begins to know, I am a ray, and the sun is, God is like the sun. If water was to completely dry up, the reflected sun is not there. If your mind became completely fulfilled through the practice of integral yoga, the soul in you is nothing but God, Brahman. And that's all, call it divine communion, salvation, liberation. That's the goal. In Valli number 3, second chapter. Ritam pibantau sukritasya loke guham pravishtau parame parardhe chaya tapau brahmavido vadanti panchagnayo yechak trinachiketa. In the cavity of the heart, in the cave of the heart, in the dwelling place of the Supreme Being, where does God abide? In the cave of your heart. There abide the two, but in order to have a full realization, certain points have to be figured out by your mind. Ishvara and Jiva, God and your soul, both abide in the cave of your heart. These two are different, like light and shade. God is the light. The soul in you is the shade. Similar, like God is the sun, and Jiva is the reflection, reflected sun. Thus has been declared by the knowers of Brahman, and also by those who are performers of Nachiketa fire. In this context, Nachiketa fire means Jnanagni, the fire of knowledge. That's what Nachiketa was after. Yah seturi jananam aksharam brahmayat param abhayam titirshatam param Nachiketam shake mahi. May we be able to know the Nachiketa fire, Jnanagni, the fire of wisdom, which is like a bridge to take one across the ocean of the world process. May we also realize Brahman, who is the fearless abode and is imperishable. Having described the world to be transient and a source of boundless grief, the world is just like an ocean with turbulent waves. A soul has to cross over this ocean. In order to cross over, Nachiketa fire, Jnanagni, the teaching that is being given to Nachiketa, that becomes the bridge to take you across the ocean of the world process. May we also realize Brahman, who is the fearless abode and is imperishable.
What's your question?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
What is it like
for you to live in grace. What is it like for you to live in grace all the time?
How is it like for the ocean to be without any motion all the time? But everyone is a wave in it. And wave has every right to be the ocean at the same time. Enlightenment is a double consciousness. You have wave consciousness, which is in tune with the ocean consciousness. The wave lives double life. It's working with other waves. It has its the same problem other waves have. But all the time, it is the ocean. The other waves don't know it. That's the difference.
Hello, Tathagata Swamiji.
Long time.
You spoke today about, you spoke today about self-effort, and it's a concept that seems so simple at times, but I find myself going through waves of up and down of will, like having the will to do certain practices is very high sometimes, to stick to certain austerities, and sometimes it's very low. To try to find the will or even make a self-effort, like I said before, seems very simple. Why is this? What causes us to go through these lulls and these highs? And how do we bring ourselves back to find more will and self-effort?
That's a lot of questions. First, to understand that everyone has the goal. Goal is the same, liberation. Self-effort in every individual is backed up by his karmic process. How will you, what will be your duty, what should you go after, all that. As long as, in other words, from the state where the soul is limited, a jiva, individual soul, two ways its movement, it has to go on exercising self-effort. When we say, do self-effort, it doesn't mean that you have to go into a university to learn what self-effort is. It simply means you are already struggling. Your struggle is your self-effort. Even when you say, I can't do any self-effort. That's your self-effort. You are lying down on your bed. You are doing something. Even if you do nothing, philosophically you are doing more than. When you do nothing, you are more under stress. When you do something, it is lesser. If you are a rider and you keep the horse completely static, it's not moving, outwardly it seems you are doing nothing. But keeping the horse quiet, you are doing a lot of muscle work. So even when you feel that you are doing nothing, you are using self-effort in a negative way. So overall, you have to go on understanding how to deal with different situations. If you study, then you are shown three modes of nature work upon your mind. Tamas brings inertia. Rajas gives you a lot of buoyancy. Sattva makes your mind more healthy and serene. But all these three are mixed up. And your self-effort is overall how to plan your life. What are the things that will enrich you? That you have to figure out. And things that will enrich you is satsanga, good association, practice of yoga in your daily life. Do certain things that will build up concentration. As you go on doing that, life is a constant process, constant self-effort of enrichment. Like a river, it goes on constantly flowing. The life constantly flows. Only do not allow it to become stagnant. It becomes stagnant because then you are avoiding satsanga, you are avoiding positive thinking. Self-effort implies that now you begin to explore yourself and your potentiality, face yourself in a joyous way, and this is the process. Not overnight process. You go on building up. The more you succeed, greater is your attainment. And success leads you to success. But when you do nothing, then there is nothing. In other words, when you don't start any movement, so doing self-effort in itself is not a big problem. How to allow that self-effort to include integral yoga, as I was explaining. How to make your life rhythmical pattern and learn the art of wait and watch, how to art of patience. When you started something enriching, positive, then you have to be patient. Even with medicines, you started some good medicine, you have to be patient with it. Otherwise, you stay patient all the time.
Pranam Swamiji. Swamiji, during the Ramayana retreat, you mentioned that one of Lord Hanuman's obstacles that he overcame was the influence of the false guru. And I've been reflecting on that, and I find that under the banner of spirituality, there are many people who claim to be authorities without perhaps full knowledge. And same thing happens in medicine oftentimes without the appropriate qualifications or guidance. People are very frivolous with medical advice. So, Swamiji, could you give a little bit more insight into how to address that, how to know and overcome that obstacle?
This is subjective. So that means every individual faces a reality in his own way. In other words, you cannot make out a rule that this is the way false guru looks and this is the way real guru looks. An individual has to develop sensitivity of automatically recognizing, here comes a guru who says, do no sadhana and I will hit on your head and you attain enlightenment. Naturally, there is no such thing. But then there are many people who will rather have that. That means they are not prepared for it. You can't save them from this predicament because they are not prepared. That's the way they want to go. Even in life, you see, people have their different ways of getting wealthy, different types of jobs they take. And that's their own karmic process. Unless one is in a political job to create some order, nothing can be done about it. Simple point, if a person has real sensitivity, how sincere a person is, automatically you are led to something authentic. So your sincerity knows what is authentic and what is not authentic. If that sincerity is lacking, then even the authentic gurus become nothing if disciple is not prepared. And then again, life presents difficult situations. And errors have to occur also in life that give you lessons to learn. As a child begins to grow, child has to fall in order to walk better. So therefore, if there are people who mislead, they are also needed. So much so it is dramatized in scriptures, you see. Nachiketa goes to Yama. He wants to attain enlightenment. But in the beginning, Yama wants to mislead him. He doesn't send him to a false guru, but he himself becomes the false guru and starts saying, what will you do with this enlightenment? Get a lot of money, let up enjoyment and live for a long time. Much in the same way, I'm keeping that in view, in God's creation, you have all types of personalities and they are all needed in a broader project. There will be no saint or sage unless there are many demoniac personalities who have put the saint or sage to a big test. If this testing has not occurred, there will be nothing spiritual. This is not an advertisement for the terrorists.
Thank you, Swamiji.
Good evening, Swamiji. My question is, how we can have God in our daily life even if we work in a challenging environment.
How does a mother keep her heart focused on her child, even though she has to go away in an office, stay all day? How does that become possible? In other words, if your mind begins to assimilate that wisdom, that the very child whom you love has a spark of God within, it is that God's spark that makes your child lovable. So therefore, the moment mind knows and has experience, so much sweetness comes from the child. I love the child. Go one step further. He who operates through your child, I love that one also. And loving that one secures everything better. Mind is led gradually, but that's the purpose of satsanga. If you go on entering into the practice of sadhana, daily little yoga, little japa, this and that, then your mind begins to turn to God for resolving any problem you face. Turn to God when you succeed and feel so joyous. God becomes you become closer and closer. God becomes your greater reality than the world around you. Loving God has no problem, but it will come, not in the beginning.
I have a son who's been very sick. He does not allow me to comfort him, nurture him, talk to him.
How old is he?
He's 45.
Okay.
Grown man, not a child. My heart, a child.
That's it. Yeah. That's correct.
And I am in a lot of pain.
On one side, it's natural, normal. On the other side, you have to learn. You have to be more mature within yourself with the help of God. First, realize every soul has its own karmic process. The cure has to come from the heart of your own son. Until his heart develops that, you're being disturbed by his manners. That's not to your advantage. It has no advantage for anyone. So that again, from another angle, God is giving you a challenge. Therefore, get involved with more japa, more satsanga. And whenever you become worried about him, pray to God to give him intelligence, give him all the help that he must need. You pray. But in harmonious situations, you talk. Give him good advice. But not the condition is not harmonious. Don't waste your energy. And don't become stressed by it, because this creation is in God's hands. And with this, I'm concluding. Om Shanti.